Jeremiah chapter 16, verse 13. Let's start at chapter 14. At the end of chapter 14 here in verse 22. The Holy Spirit says this, "Do any of the worthless idols Do any of the worthless idols of the nations bring rain?" This is a key verse to understanding what we're talking about tonight. Do any of the worthless idols of the nations bring rain? Do the skies themselves send down showers? Know it is you, O Lord our God, therefore our hope is in you. For you are the one who does all this. Now we think, you know, in this generation where people, unless you really are close enough to God to see this, this generation is the most absolute wicked generation that's ever been on the face of the earth. Even Christians as a whole are so unsensitive to the things of the Holy Spirit and so disrespectful to the things of God. And it is a shame because we've been so programmed by intellectual minds and humanity to believe that it's the sky itself that's just from some kind of chemical reaction and a circulatory system. It's a closed system that rain just keeps sending itself, but that's not even close to true. If it was not for God Himself commanding the rain to come, it will stop coming. Some of your minds are protesting right now because you're so used to looking to the Weather Channel and listen to what they're telling you. But I'm telling you right now that God's Word is the only truth in the universe. And it says here, let me read it to you again, "Do any of the worthless idols of the nations bring rain?" So can any other god bring rain? And then he asks another question, "Do the skies themselves send down showers?" You're thinking, yeah, the sky does. That's clouds. The cumulus clouds come, they're full of water. It evaporates, it goes up into those clouds, and when the time comes when that cloud's ready to burst, that cloud sends rain. But that's not what the Bible says. He says, "Know it is you, O Lord our God, therefore our hope is in you, for you are the one who does all this." So really, in reality, it is God that's sending the rain. Some of you think, why is this so important? Well, we're gonna make a real strong point about the rain. And this has something to do with what is to come. I keep telling you, God's showed me some things to come. And whether you want to believe me or not that God has showed me things to come, I can prove you with scriptures just from a pattern of things that we've seen in the past that they're the things that I've described to you and have warned you about to come. They're going to come. Whether you believe that God showed me what is to come or not, they're going to come. Because the scripture reveals patterns from history's past, and we need to be prepared and in prayer. Amen. Now go on over to Jeremiah 51, verse 16. If you have your Bibles with you. Says this, verse 15, God made the earth by His power. He's telling you the origin of all things that you can see with your natural eyes. He made the earth by His power. He founded the world by His wisdom and stretched out the heavens by His understanding. When He thunders, the waters in the heavens roar. He makes clouds rise from the ends of the earth. He sends lightning with the rain and brings out wind from his storehouses. Then he goes on and talks about how the idols are nothing. So it's God has established the laws of what we call nature, but really it's the laws of God. It's the laws of God that He instituted in the beginning when He created the heavens and the earth. And when He regenerated it in Genesis 1-2, He established these laws and He's in control, ultimately. But we'll talk a little bit about why things don't always go very smoothly with the weather. We'll briefly talk on that, since God's the one that instituted these things. Going over to the book of Job, chapter 5. Job, chapter 5. He says this in verse 10. He bestows rain on the earth. Let's turn in verse 9. He performs wonders that cannot be fathomed, miracles that cannot be counted. He bestows rain on the earth. He sends water upon the countryside. You see, the many scriptures prove that it's God's the one that sends the rain. You're saying the clouds send the rain. Well, God's the one that instituted the laws of God. Not the laws, what many people call it the laws of nature, but in reality, you're just worshiping the creation as we do that. We need to call it what it is. It's the laws of God. Amen? God's the one that caused these things. Go to Job 28. 26. It says this. Verse 24, for He views the ends of the earth and sees everything under the heavens. When He established the force of the wind and measured out the waters, when He made a decree for the rain and a path for the thunderstorm. And He looked at wisdom and appraised it and confirmed it and tested it. So see, God's the one that commands the rain where to go. And He left a path for the thunderstorm. In fact, He cut out a channel for the thunder and the lightning to travel down. Go to Job 37, verse 6. Everybody take a deep breath. Go take a deep breath with me. Let's do it again. Let's breathe in God and breathe the devil out. One more time. Doesn't that feel good? Get a little oxygen to the brain, amen? You know, the Bible says that God gives life and breath to every creature. Amen. You feel better, don't you? Verse 30, chapter 37, verse 6. Let's start in verse 4. After that comes the sound of the roar. He thunders with His majestic voice. When His voice resounds, He holds nothing back. God's voice thunders in marvelous ways. He does great things beyond our understanding. He says to the snow, fall on the earth, and to the rain shower, be a mighty downpour. So God's the one that's commanding all these things to take place. Verse 11 says, He loads the clouds with moisture. He scatters the lightning through them. Yeah, but Pastor Dan, the weatherman told me that the water just evaporates and it just goes up in those clouds. But the Bible says this He loads the clouds with moisture. God's causing it all to happen. These are laws that he instituted. Yeah, but Pastor Dan, those are the laws of nature. No, those are the laws of God. Amen. We're going to get our minds so far from the natural, you're going to recognize that everything is of God. Amen? Amen. That's what we want to do. We don't want to believe everything they're telling us, because they're telling us many things and they're trying to program us in subtle ways that God doesn't exist, and what would you even need him for? After all, everything just happens. Well, that's as far as the truth as can be. God instituted everything that happens. Amen? Amen? They're trying to program us to believe all this science, and the Bible calls it science falsely so-called. That's what the Bible calls science. And thank God for everything they can figure out with the worldly wisdom. And really, in reality, God's the one that gave man any kind of wisdom. But we need to recognize and acknowledge God. And not forget about him, because that's what they're trying to get you to do. To forget about God. We're going to see why this is so important. Job 38, 25. Verse 24. In fact, let's start in verse 22. Let's just go back to Genesis 1:1. Amen. Verse 22. Have you entered the storehouses of the snow? Or seen the storehouses of the hail, which I reserve for times of trouble, for the days of war and battle. And you're going to see that at the day of Armageddon. It says the water is as high as the horses. The blood in the water mixed together is as high as the horses' bridles for a distance of 1,600 stadia. And that's because there's going to be a major hailstorm along with all the blood from all the slain. Verse 24. What is the way to the place where the lightning is dispersed? He's asking him questions. How do you know all this? Or the place where the east winds are scattered over the earth. Who cuts a channel for the torrents of rain and the path for the thunderstorm? Now that'll just about blow your mind. That means that God, every drop of rain that falls down from heaven all the way from the cloud that it's dispersed from to the ground, God's the one supernaturally cutting a channel for each drop of rain. Can you handle it? And these are facts. What they tell you, that's not facts. But God's word is a fact. Amen? Amen? It's our foundation of truth, and we're going to stick with the word of God, no matter what the weatherman told us. And we're thankful for what they do, because if it wasn't for them, we wouldn't know when it's going to rain unless we're sensitive enough to God to, you know, sit there and understand those types of things, which are unimportant. Now go on over the book of Psalms 135. We're talking about the rain tonight. What are you talking about the rain, Pastor Dan? Just hold on tight. Or you wish you would have. Psalm 135, verse 7. How many loves the Word of God tonight? It's good that we have this time together to just enjoy God's Word. Now look at this. Verse 6. In fact, let's just start in verse 5. I know that the Lord is great, that our Lord is greater than all gods. Amen. The Lord does whatever pleases Him in the heavens and on the earth, in the seas and all their depths. He makes clouds rise from the ends of the earth. He sends lightning with the rain and brings out the wind from its storehouses. So all the wind, all that stuff's coming. You say, well, what's with all these hurricanes and this and that? We'll address it. Psalm 147. Verse 8. He covers the sky with clouds. He supplies the earth with rain. He supplies, that's a key verse, he supplies the earth with rain. He makes grass grow on the hills. He provides food for the cattle and for the young ravens when they call. So everything is in working within the confines of God's laws. First of all, he sends rain. And then it evaporates back up to the clouds that God created. He commands all this to happen. If it stopped raining, Then the vegetation would wither up. We would have nothing to eat. Going on over to Isaiah chapter 40. And these are just some of the scriptures that talk about this. There's dozens and dozens and dozens more. Isaiah 40. All men are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the breath of the Lord blows on them. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord stands forever. Verse 12. Who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand? Or with the breath of his hand marked off the heavens? Who has held the dust of the earth in a basket? Or weighed the mountains on the scales and the hills on a balance? Who has understood the mind of the Lord or instructed him as his counselor? Whom did the Lord consult to enlighten him, and who taught him the right way? Who was it that taught him knowledge and showed him the path of understanding? Surely the nations are like a drop in the bucket. They are regarded as dust on the scales. He weighs the islands as though they were fine dust. Lebanon is not sufficient for altar fires, nor its animals enough for burnt offerings. Before him all the nations are as nothing. They are regarded to him as worthless and less than nothing. Ain't that a fact? It's like David said, what is man that you're mindful of him, the son of man that you visited us with him? To whom then will you compare God? What image can you compare him to? As for an idol, a craftsman castsman, and a goldsmith overlays it with gold and fashions silver chains for it. A man too poor to present such an offering selects wood that will not rot. He looks for a skilled craftsman and sets up an idol that will not topple. Do you not know? Have you not heard? Has it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood since the earth was founded? He sits enthroned above the circle of the earth, and the people are like grasshoppers. Just he likens us unto bugs in comparison with himself. He stretches out the heavens like a canopy and spreads them out like a tent to live in. He brings princes to naught and reduces the rulers of this world to nothing. No sooner are they planted, no sooner are they sown. No sooner do they take root in the ground, and he blows on them, and they wither. And a whirlwind sweeps them away like chaff. To whom will you compare me? Or who is my equal, says the Holy One? Lift your eyes and look to the heavens. Who created all these? He's telling you, just take a look up there and look at my creation and get a clue. Can't you see that this order, this severe order that's in the universe. Can't you see that I created this? I mean, you would literally have to be completely spiritually blind to look into the heavens and look and from a rational standpoint, just to any intellectual mind should have enough common sense to make a judgment that since there every single star up there is a sun to another planet, there's some kind of order up there. How did that come to be? Of course there's a God. Amen. You'd have to be the most foolish person. That's why he says, the fool says in his heart, there is no God. It says in Psalms 14:1. You'd have to be completely foolish to not believe in God and fear him. That's why he says the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. Listen to this. Lift up your eyes and look to the heavens. Verse 26, who created all these? Who brings out the starry host one by one and calls them each by name? Because of his great power and mighty strength, not one of them is missing. Why do you say, O Jacob, and complain, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, my cause is disregarded by my God? Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the heavens and the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. So we see that all this creation, everything's coming from God, the creator of the heavens and the earth. Amen.
He said this.
He said, who will not fear me and bring glory to my name? For I have endowed man with wisdom. Why will they become fools in their hearts and put themselves to shame? Can they not recognize that I am the creator of the heavens and the earth? Can they not see that I give life and breath to every creature and give everything that I've created its worth? Humble yourselves and recognize the one who begat ye and created all things. For I'm the Lord your God, your creator. And all things come through me, and they are for me. So humble yourself and bow before me and recognize that I am he who is to be worshipped, says the Lord. Now, go on over to Deuteronomy chapter 11. You're going to the left. Now we're going to make a point with this, and the Lord wants you to know this. It's very important to him. We need to recognize some things. We need to fear God. If there's anything I would ever tell you to do, this is the last time I ever saw you, I would tell you to fear God and keep his commandments. That's what I would tell you. And keep your faith in Jesus and everything will work out. It's the fear of the Lord is why people don't act right. You can read that in 1 Peter 3:10 on through. Deuteronomy 11, verse 14. In fact, let's just start in verse 13. I keep doing this to you, but I can't help myself. I love God's word. Amen. Amen. So if you faithfully obey my commands I'm giving you today, to love the Lord your God and to serve him with all your heart and all your soul, then I will send rain on your land in a season. Underline the word then. That means that this particular promise that God is making is absolutely conditional, and it's contingent upon them doing what? Obeying God's commands and loving him. You know, Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments, right? John 14:15. He said, you are my friends if you do what I command, John 15:14. 1 John 5:3 says this, for this is the love of God to keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. 2 John 6 says this, and this is love that we walk in obedience to his commands. As you've heard from the beginning, his command is that you walk in love. The disciples asked him, why are you not going to show yourselves to all the other people? And his answer was, if you love me, you'll do what I command. And I'll show myself to you. Me and my Father will reveal ourselves to you. So the reason that people can't see God and they can't see the truth of God is because they're sin. God is a holy God. Deuteronomy 28. So the rain, he said right there in chapter 11 that he's going to send the rain if we obey God. You say, why is this so important? It just got done raining, Pastor Dan. Well, just pay attention to what's going on around you. There's things that are about to change dramatically in the climate, in the atmosphere, in this nation. Verse 12, the Lord will open the heavens, the storehouses of his bounty, to send rain on your land in season and bless all the work of your hands. You will lend to many nations, you will borrow from none. I'll make you the head and not the tail if you pay attention to the commands of the Lord your God that I give you this day and are careful to follow them. So it's conditional. He says, I'll send the rain. I'm going to bless you. It's conditional upon you obeying all my commands, right?
Going over to Leviticus 26, verse 4, people say, this is the Old Testament, Pastor Dan, we're in the New Covenant. Yeah, well, God is Jesus Christ, same yesterday, today, and forever. He said, don't be carried away by all kinds of strange teachings. Hebrews 13, 8 and 9. The Bible says, I am the Lord, I change not. He doesn't view sin any differently since the Garden of Eden than he does through all eternity. It's the same. Don't be confused by the devil's lie. Okay, he doesn't do things differently. The only difference is if you've accepted Jesus, your sins are washed away and you're born again. You're going to heaven, not Abraham's bosom. Now, and you don't have to sacrifice animals when you sin. You just say, Father, forgive me. Leviticus 26, verse 4. We're going somewhere with this. Verse 3, if you follow my decrees and are careful to obey my commands, if, underline the word if. We're seeing a pattern here, aren't we? I will send you rain in its season. I will send you rain in its season and the ground will yield its crops. Now, how many knows if it doesn't rain, the crops aren't going to grow? And the trees of the field, their fruit. Your threshing will continue until grape harvest. The grape harvest will continue until planting, and you will eat all the food you want and live in safety in the land. So if we obey God, He promises us rain. And as a result of the rain, the crops will grow, the fruit, the trees will yield its fruit, and we will have food to eat. Amen. Matthew 5:44, He said this. He said, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who persecute you. Then you'll be sons of your Father in heaven. He caused the sun to rise on the evil and the good and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. Amen? He's the one that sends the rain. Acts 14:17, it says, yet he's not left himself without testimony. He's shown kindness by sending you rain from heaven and crops in their seasons. He provides you with plenty of food and fills your hearts with joy. Amen. He gives life and breath to every creature. Going over to 1 Kings chapter 8. You may have to use the beginning of your Bible to find it. 1 Kings chapter 8. Verse 35. Says this, when the heavens are shut up and there is no rain because your people have sinned against you, and when you pray toward this place and confess your name. So look, I want you to get out of this. At the end of the verse, he says, teach them the right way to live and send rain on the land you gave the people as your inheritance. So it's based upon people, first of all, believing in God, second of all, obeying God. Let me read you another verse. Just stay where you're at. And you can go over the book of Hosea. I'm going to go to another place. Go on over to Hosea chapter 4. Isaiah 5:6. I'll make it a wasteland, neither pruned nor cultivated, and briars and thorns will grow there. I will command the clouds not to rain on it. Now this is an Old Testament scripture, and the circumstances were the people were not obeying God's law. As a result of their disobedience, they reaped the consequences of their sin, and one of those consequences was all the laws that God set in motion, the laws of God we've been talking about, which included the rain falling upon the earth, the crops coming in its season, the tree bearing its fruit. All those laws that God instituted, because they reaped what they sowed, it put a stop on it. God put a stop on it. He said, that's it. It's not going to rain anymore. You're not going to have food to eat. And as you know, if you go through the book of Jeremiah and Isaiah, there was famine in the land. Drought in the land, water not, no water to drink. Hosea chapter 4, let me find it with you here. Hosea chapter 4. God sends the rain. Says this in verse 1. Hear the word of the Lord, you Israelites, because the Lord has a charge to bring against you who live in the land. Now you're going to notice similarities between the judgment on this nation and what's going on currently in the entire earth. He says there is no faithfulness, no love, no acknowledgement of God in the land. No acknowledgement of God in the land. We used to be one nation under God. The United States used to be considered a Christian nation, but now they say it's mainly Muslim. He says there's only cursing, lying, and murder, stealing and adultery, and breaking all bounds. Bloodshed follows bloodshed. Verse 3, because of this, the land mourns, and all who live in it waste away. The beasts of the field and the birds of the air and the fish of the sea are dying. Everyone say this. Say this with me. Say the beasts of the field,
the beasts of the field,
the birds of the air,
the birds of the air,
and the fish of the sea are dying.
Pastor Dan, that's a bad confession.
God said it. We're honoring the word of the Lord. Now, what I want you to get out of this, if you just look around the world, they found a certain breed of antelope. There was over 40,000 of them dead in one spot, and they couldn't figure out why. If you look at the videos, if you just YouTube animals dying around the world, you'll see countless videos that are full of animals, millions upon millions of dead fish, whales, all sorts of birds falling all over the place, all around the world at this current time over the last 10 years. And it's getting worse. And they always say it's an unexplainable event. We don't understand why exactly this happened. Perhaps it's some kind of disease. They try to explain it away. But the Bible says it's a result of the people's sin. He says the earth withers away. Now, let me ask you a question. A lot of these other nations that don't serve God, do they not live out there in the desert? Don't some of them live out there in dry and thirsty lands out in the desert? Now, see, they just moved there. Well, at one time, those lands used to have vegetation and they used to grow and flourish. But what happened as a result of their sin, there's a judgment and a curse on their land. Why are you talking about all this, Pastor? I'm going to tell you why. Because God keeps telling me to warn the people that we need to get prepared. We need to be in prayer. We need to get serious about our faith. Why? Because it says this. In Isaiah 33:16, he says, those who walk uprightly, their bread will be supplied and water will not fail them. But those who do not walk uprightly, their bread, their food will not be supplied and water will fail them. You can rest assured of it. Now, when is Jesus coming back? I want the rapture to happen. So do I, but there's still work to do. I get people born again every week, mainly every week. We get somebody saved or we affect someone for Jesus Christ. Which means that there's still people who will receive Jesus as a result of preaching the gospel, and judgment doesn't have to fall quite yet, and God's going to wait as long as He can, but what He's really waiting on is us to go and reach the people. And the sooner we reach them, the less we have to experience the judgments as a result of their sin. Isaiah 26:9-10, he said this, He said, when your judgments come upon the earth, the peoples of the world learn righteousness. But when grace is shown to the wicked, they do not learn righteousness. Even in a land of uprightness, holiness, even a land of uprightness, they go on doing evil and do not regard the majesty of the Lord. Give us more grace. No. You hear what he said? Grace is shown to the wicked. They don't learn righteousness. In other words, when the preacher sits up there and says, God's grace is going to cover it, the people don't turn from their sin. Even if everybody else was living righteous, they just go on doing evil about it. Judgment's coming upon this planet. Judgment's coming upon this nation. Like never before. You live in this nation. Well, I'm going to go run and hide. I'm going to go move to India or Africa. It's going to be just as bad there. They don't believe in God either. There's going to be nowhere to run and nowhere to hide for anybody who doesn't believe in God. They're going to try. It says they're going to try to hide in the mountains. They're going to try to hide in the rocks. It's not going to hide them from the face of the Lamb and the cup of His wrath. Isaiah 42, 13 through 15. He says this, for a long time I've kept silent. I've been quiet and held myself back. He said, but now, like a woman in childbirth, I cry out, I gasp, I pant. He said, I'll lay waste the mountains and hills and dry up all their vegetation. I'll turn the rivers into islands and dry up their pools. So he said, and that was in the old covenant, and he's referring to Israel in particular, but it's a double reference scripture for today. In the same way as the people, they forgot about God. He said, look, I held myself back. I've been silent. Nothing's been going on. You've been getting away with it way too long. He says, but that's it. Like a woman in childbirth, he said, now's the time. I'm going to lay waste all your vegetation. I'm going to take the water away from you. In other words, what I'm going to do is I'm going to let you reap the consequences of your sin. Now, how many's ever read the book of Jeremiah or Isaiah or any of the prophets? Those men of God, even though they were living for God, especially Jeremiah makes it very clear. He says, look, we're all going to suffer for it. Even though Jeremiah was fully obedient to God, we're all going to suffer for it as a result of the other people's sin in their nation. So, if the rapture does not happen soon, we will all be affected to one level or another. What should I do, Pastor Dan? Repent. Make sure your heart's right for God and develop your faith. Because he said those who walk righteously and speak what is right, their bread will be supplied and water will not fail them. How many knows when they threw Jeremiah in the cistern and they locked him in the vault, the king commanded that he get bread every single day. He get a loaf of bread and he got all the drink that he needed. So God supplied the needs of the man of God, who happened to be a prophet. He supplied his needs because he was fully obedient. While the other people, all their animals, it says that the donkeys panted like jackals and the people were withering away. They didn't have no water to drink. Even though they were God's client nation. All these things in the past are written to teach us so that we can learn something from it. Now it says this, and this is referring to our nation also. Hosea 13:6, he said, when I fed them, they were satisfied. In other words, I blessed them, they got satisfied. When they were satisfied, they became proud. Then they forgot me. So God blessed this nation, then they got all full of pride and forgot about God. And as a result, as you can see, because the people did not acknowledge God in these scriptures, that He took the water away. I'm telling you, this drought's coming in the land. When is it going to come, Pastor? I'm not supposed to put any kind of interpretation. All I'm going to tell you is what God showed me. He says there's a drought coming on the land. When is it going to happen? I don't know. But I'm telling you, it's going to happen real soon. And it's going to affect the vegetation. In fact, they say that this nation itself alone, we are just something like 48 hours away from famine. You don't even realize the edge that we live on.
If the economy busted out in one day, it would be famine in the entire land, even right here in the United States. You know that. Do you realize the edge that they live on? And they think that they're getting away with something? We need to make sure our hearts are right with God, and we need to have our faith developed so we can believe God for what's necessary and we can supply the needs of those around us. Proverbs 27:12, he said, the prudent see danger coming and take refuge, but the simple keep going and pay the penalty. The simple is like stupid. Those without knowledge. So why are we talking about this? Because God just wants to keep reminding you to be ready. Amen. For the rapture so we can get out of here. Because there's judgments coming on this land. All sorts of judgments. Now, somebody say, well, God's the one that commands the rain. And He's the one that commands the thunder and storms. Why are all these storms? Why are hurricanes destroying nations? Stuff like that. Okay, it's very simple, my dear Watson. Let me explain this to you. It's because there's a curse on the earth. God instituted the laws of God, which included the rain and the thunder and all that stuff. He instituted that before the curse. And because humanity opened up the door for sin, it says, wherefore is by one man sin entered the world, and death through sin. And so death passed upon all men for that all have sinned. So the curse is upon the earth and everybody on it that's not born again. They're under a curse. He said, if anyone does not love the Lord Jesus, a curse be on him. They're under a curse. Said John the Baptist said at the end of John 3, he said, the wrath of God remains on him. The wrath of God's already on those who don't obey God. So what we want to do is make sure we're close to God, and we need to believe God. We need to, first of all, be believing Him that His will's done upon the earth. He commanded us to pray that. We need to pray that God's will's done upon the earth as it is in heaven. We need to love our children. Children need to obey their parents, right? He said, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. It's the first commandment with a promise. He said, honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with the promise that all may go well with you, and you may enjoy long life on the earth. A lot of children, I've told you this before, I've seen it time and time again. I hope the youth are listening. I'm trying to talk to them now. But I've seen it time and time again when young people died. At a young age, the parents outlived them. And I asked the question, I say, did they have a good relationship with their parents? And I cannot tell you how many times they said, nope. They wouldn't talk to their parents. They're in unforgiveness against them. And they die at a young age. Why is it? Because the Bible says it'll happen. He says that you may enjoy a long life on the earth if we obey our parents. Oh, I'm not going to die early. Well, you just keep on disobeying God and you see who's right. God or you. We need to obey our parents. I'm telling you what I've seen. I've observed it. I've watched it with my very eyes. I've seen young people die. It's because they've disobeyed their parents. They don't have a relationship with their parents, and they fight against them when really they should be trusting God to fight the battles for them instead of fighting with flesh. You know? So God's very grieved at the condition of the earth. Just like when just as it was on the days of Noah, he looked on, he was very grieved. Said he was grieved that he even created humanity on the earth because of the condition that they brought themselves into through their sin. God's very, very grieved at the condition of the earth. He's very, very grieved at the condition of the church. He's very, very grieved that people are, because of their sin, are blinding their minds to such a level where they can't, no matter who explains it to them, all they see is science, falsely so-called. They can't see God even if you try to explain Him to them. Explain His Word. So He says, so I tell you this and insist on it in the Lord, that you live a life worthy of the calling you received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. For there's one body and one Spirit, just as you're called to one hope when you're called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who's over all and through all and in all. But to each one of us, grace has been apportioned, as grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. You know? And he says, this is why it is said, when he ascended on high,
He led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. Is he who gave son to be apostles, son to be prophets, son to be pastors, and son to be evangelists, pastors, and teachers to prepare God's people for works of service? So that the body of Christ may be built up till we all reach a unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we'll no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and the cunning and craftiness of men and their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things together grow up into Him who is the head, even Christ. From Him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. He says, so I tell you this and insist on in the Lord, that you walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their minds, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God due to the ignorance that is in them because of the hardness of their hearts. Having lost all sensitivity, that relationship of God is broken. Having lost all sensitivity, they've given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity with a continual lust for more. He says, you, however, did not come to know Christ that way. Surely you heard of Him and were taught Him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. You were taught with regard to your former way of life. That means there should be a lifestyle change. Amen. To put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, and to be made new in the attitude of your mind, renew your mind to God's Word, and to put on the new self, which is created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, put off falsehood and speak truthfully to your neighbor, for we're all members of one body. You shouldn't lie. He says, in your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you're still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. He who's been stealing should steal no longer, but should work, doing something useful with his hands, so they may have something to share with those in need. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you are sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness and rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as in Christ God forgave you. That's all of chapter 4. Chapter 5, he says, be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love. Just as Christ loved us and gave Himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. He said, but among you there must not even be a hint of sexual immorality or of any kind of impurity or of greed. He says, for these are improper for God's holy people. Nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, which are out of place, for rather thanksgiving. For of this you can be sure, no immoral, impure, or greedy person, such a man as an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. He's not going to heaven. Anybody that's not completely holy, he said, don't let anyone deceive you with empty words, for because of such thing God's wrath is coming. He said, you were once darkness, but now you're light in the Lord. Live as children of light, for the fruit of the light consists of all goodness, righteousness, and truth, and find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. He said, it's light that makes everything visible. And then he says, that's why it is said, wake up, O sleeper, and rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Be very careful then how you live. Be very careful then how you live, he says. Amen. Not as unwise, but as wise, because the days are evil. He says, don't be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to yourselves with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with gratitude, or sing and make music in your heart to the Lord. Colossians says singing with gratitude in your heart to the Lord. He says almost the same thing, Colossians 3:16. Always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ.
Wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife, just as Christ is the head of the church, his body, of which he's a Savior. He says, just as Christ, just the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. In the same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. After all, no one ever hated his own body, but he feeds and cares for it just as Christ and the church for members of his body. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. He said, this is a profound mystery, but I'm talking about Christ and the church. However, each one of you also must love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband. Colossians 3, that's Ephesians 5, Colossians 3, he says this. He says, since then you've been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who's your life, appears, you also appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed. He said, because of these, the wrath of God is coming on those who are disobedient. He says, you used to walk in these ways in life. You once lived, but now you must rid yourselves of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you've taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its Creator. Here there's no Jew or Greek, slave or free. He says, but Christ is all and is all. He says this, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you, and over all these virtues put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. As the members of one body, you are called to peace and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you rich. That means you're just full of the word. He's not writing this just to the pastor. He's writing it to all of us. He says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing with gratitude in your hearts to God. In other words, he's telling every believer, you should be so full of the word of God that you can teach it to anybody. Every believer should be able to do that. In fact, he rebuked him in Hebrews 5. He said, though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's word all over again. You need milk, not solid food. He said, anyone who lives on milk being still an infant is not acquainted with the teaching about righteousness, but solid food is for the mature who by constant use of the word have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. Isn't it a shame when the majority of believers will live 50, 60 years in the church and they never mature, and that's because what they do at home. It's not because of the pastor. It's a personal responsibility to grow. He told you to, like newborn babes, crave the pure spiritual milk of the word so by it you may grow up. It's my job to tell you the truth, and it's your job to go home and do what he said. He also said, whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. He said, wives, submit to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. And Colossians 3:25 says it like this. He says, anyone who does wrong will be repaid for his wrong, and there's no favoritism. You know? Peter said, therefore, since Christ suffered in his body, arm yourselves also with the same attitude, because he suffered in his body, he's done it sin. As a result, he does not live the rest of his earthly life for evil human desires, but rather for the will of God. He said, you spent enough time in the past doing what pagans choose to do, living in debauchery, lusts, drunkenness, orgies, and carousing, detestable idolatry. He said, they think it's strange you don't plunge with them in the same flood of dissipation. They heap abuse on you, but they'll have to give account to him who's ready to judge both the living and the dead. For this reason, the gospel is preached even to those who are now dead, so they may be judged according to men in regard to the body, but live according to God in regard to the spirit. He said, the end of all things is near, therefore be clear-minded and self-controlled so you can pray. He said, above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each one should use whatever gift he's received to serve others, faithfully ministering God's grace in its various forms. He said, do not think it strange that the fiery trial you're going through, as though something stranger happened to you. I don't understand why this is happening, Pastor Dan. He says, don't think it's strange. As though something strange had happened. He said, but rejoice, you participate in the sufferings of Christ, so you may be overjoyed when His glory is revealed. He said, if you suffer, it should not be as a murderer, a thief, or any other kind of criminal, or even as a meddler. However, if you suffer as a Christian, do not be ashamed, but praise God that you bear that name. For it is time for judgment to begin at the family of God. That's the church. And if it begins with us, what will the outcome be for those who do not obey the gospel of God? And if it's hard for the righteous to be saved, well, he said, what will happen to the ungodly and the sinner? He said, so then those who suffer according to God's will should commit themselves to the faithful Creator and continue to do good. That's 1 Peter 4. You want me to keep going? I can quote chapter after chapter out of the Bible until we're going to repent and get our hearts right. Amen. We want to be full of the Word. You should, in fact, you should have these chapters memorized. You say, I can't even memorize Scripture. You don't apply yourself to do it. You could. If you apply yourself, you could do it. Little kids memorize all sorts of stuff. They memorize everything you taught them. He said on the matters of forgiveness. He says, forgive as I've forgiven you. For why do you exalt yourself above me? I'm higher than you. So humble yourselves under my mighty hand that I may exalt you in due time. Resist the devil and he will flee, and submit yourself to me, says the Lord. For I am he who gives you grace as you come into my throne. And if you will walk with me, you will find that you're not on your own. But as long as you walk in rebellion against my word and do not act upon what you've heard and do not give it first place in your heart, you will find and you will see that you aren't alone, says the Lord. For my face is against those who do evil, and my eyes are on the righteous, and my ears are attentive to their prayer. So humble yourself. Recognize the circumstances and be aware, says the Lord. For I'm with those who fear me. I'm with those who obey my word, but my face is against those who do evil. So humble yourselves and be obedient in all things and recognize that I am he who created all things. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways. But your ways can become my ways if you will humble yourself and simply begin to act. You know, when Paul said, I'm just going to say this because he said it, so we're going to. Paul said, I fear when I come that there'll be gossip, arrogance, and disorder. God forbid there be disorder in a church service. He said it's shameful for a woman even to speak in the church. And he wasn't talking about preaching either. He's talking about in a church service for people to be talking to each other. It's disgraceful, he says. It's just dishonorable to God.
Amen.
Yes. Amen. Amen. This is God's house. He said it, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain. They labor in vain that build it. He said, except the Lord watch, the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. Psalm 127:1. You know. He said, to whom can I speak and give warning? Who will listen to me? Their ears are closed, they cannot hear. The word of the Lord is offensive to them. Jeremiah 6:10. So when we hear what the preacher says, we don't like it. It's really not the preacher that we don't like. It's God, because that's His way. He just put us in charge temporarily. God loves you. But the only way to experience His love is when you fully surrender your whole heart. You'll never feel it. You'll never feel more than just a glimpse of His love until you give up the smoking, the drinking, the swearing, the looking at all the other gossip Facebook pages, all that garbage. It's all filth in His eyes. It's all filth. Even Facebook is just a bunch of gossip. Can't you see that it's just a bunch of gossip about other people's lives? Can't you see it's filth in God's eyes? and you pump this into your spirits, it's all filth. It's no wonder he's going to shut so many people out at the rapture and they're going to be left behind. Because they just are so, their spiritual perception is so distorted and they just refuse to humble themselves and obey God. It's no wonder they're going to have to suffer the torments of the tribulation period. Because they refuse to turn from their wicked ways. He's a holy God. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord, the Bible says. It's a choice. And it's not too hard. He says that his commands are not grievous. It's a personal choice. Even with all the constant warning of the judgments to come, even though God's word even warns of it, he puts seers in the land to prophesy to you and tell you it's coming. People still go on. It's just like he said, when grace is shown to the wicked, they do not learn righteousness, even in the land of uprightness. They go on doing evil and do not regard the majesty of the Lord. Isaiah 26, 9 and 10. To whom can I speak and give warning? Who will listen to me? Their ears are closed. They cannot hear the word of the Lord is offensive to them. They find no pleasure in it. It's not until you find pleasure in God's word that your heart is right before him. Amen. We need to be holy. He says, I've given you total victory over all of the tactics and the plans and schemes of the enemy. But all of the wisdom to overcome him can only be found in my presence, is only found in me. So stay close to me. Come near to me and I will come near to you, and you will find that the information you need to eradicate you from all the problems and tactics of the enemy is found in my presence, says the Lord. So spend much time with your hands lifted high and your hearts extended towards me. Lift up your voice, lift up your hands, and make the choice. For as you do, you will find that my presence will come on the scene and refresh you. Yes, for there's much stress that the enemy throws at you, but I am the God of all comfort. I am your ever-present help in time of need, in time of trouble. And when my presence comes on the scene, you will be free, says the Lord, because in my presence is the fullness of joy, and there's much freedom in me, says the Lord.